A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 542, 1917. Wait, we're on episode 542,000.
Season right. 542, episode 1917.
Oh, wow. We are a machine.
It would really be 5 million.
5 million, yeah. Like,
42,000.
The longest running podcast.
You think I'm old
ever.
Now.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, imagine. All my old-timey references then will be about, like, Ant-Man 46 and...
yeah. Directed by Josh Trank.
Josh Trank, yeah. He came back around.
Yeah, it was a nice redemption story.
Yeah, it was good, good.
Well, we can all agree that that would be a true milestone.
Yes.
If Josh Trank came back?
Well, the whole 5 million thing, but...
Yeah, 54, 20,
we should do
19,
one of those sometime
17.
Where we do, like, a, nope, this is episode 5 million, blah, 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 and this... And then just like an April Fool's episode, like a big time jump.
And what would we review?
Yeah.
The Oscar winning Superman, Man of Steel.
Cats, wow. Cats 2.
Yeah.
Cats 2. Yeah.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Paul.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. A few quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. And be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, and our group, the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing you helped out. And new stuff coming this week, so keep an eye out for that. So there we go, 1917. Let's have at it.
Kevin, I'm going to do this right now. Holy... Like this is a moot. Like this is insane. Like
yeah.
This,
awesome.
This will be in my top five, hands down. I would say that it goes in the top five for 2019, but I saw it in 2020. Yeah. Like that's.
But so, it is a 2019.
It
release.
Is a 2019 release, and they did that smartly. I don't know why wouldn't they put this out earlier.
I think it's just there was a lot of competition.
Well,
and I think,
they want Oscar buzz. And
well, I just mean like earlier than you know like.
I think they also have seen the trend that these sorts of movies do well at this time of year.
Yeah.
And so
just held it and got
why fight against that tide?
They got the L.A. and New York. And
I still think of it as a 2020 movie because it wasn't available to see in our town until 2020.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
But I mean, yeah. So for your list, it's fine. It's just but it's the first release is when the movie.
And that's I mean, and they did that. So that I mean, and rightfully so. Like it deserves if this does not win cinematography there.
Well, this is Roger Deakins, who we all know is amazing, and he just won an Oscar finally for his career for Blade Runner 2049. So
he deserves
be
it.
That was his 13th nomination. Yeah.
Not saying he didn't deserve it for Blade Runner.
Of course.
He deserves it for this
one. So I don't know if they'll give it to him again. They could, but I'll tell you what, best director?
Easily.
Sam Mendes?
He needs to be in the...
This film, and obviously we're going to get into more
this is. This is a film.
Detail, but... This to be able to direct all the action and all the people and everything going on in this and to do it with such long takes because
oh man
yeah I mean, obviously it's not really one take but
it plays that way
but there are clearly long sections of the film that are one take
they stitch together
with no trickery
stitch together a lot of really really long takes and the I don't want to say the gimmick but the buzz around the movie the selling point is that you know it's this epic war movie but it's also done in like one shot
right.
But what it does is it adds that constantly moving that energy the kinetic feeling that you're on the ground and war is going on and war doesn't just stop, you know? And so it's like, it's real time of these guys going on their mission from the start of the movie to the end.
That was actually going to be a question I had is this real time? Like, does this movie take place over a matter of,
I think it's real time, except for this one point where
he's knocked out.
He hits that shelled out village or whatever, and then there's a time jump.
Yes.
But other than that, I think it's supposed to be real time.
But it has to be. It looks like one shot.
Would you have caught?
So for this type of movie to do something like that, so not only, you know, is it extremely well executed, but just to have the brain to figure that out and so the direction from Mendez, but you definitely have to give Deakins credit.
Oh, without
How
question.
Do you shoot that? How do you follow these guys around? How do you, you know, when they're running, when they're, you know, the camera's moving around, when they're going through trenches, like the technical aspect of this movie, we talked about Kubrick on the last episode, and I know Tom's not a huge fan, but the technical achievements, you know, Kubrick was known as a director that was technically, you know, very, you know, a mastermind behind the camera. And so Mendez, what he does here is next level. Phenomenal. Like, and with that pairing of Deakins and Mendez.
Yeah. Now, I will say that there's one point in the movie where the technical part of it I found was a little bit of a distraction. And it's only in one scene. And it's a scene where the two soldiers, we haven't even talked about the plot yet.
Sure. No.
The two soldiers who are the lead characters in this movie, they have to cross a river on a bombed-out bridge while under fire by the enemy.
One soldier.
Just one soldier's going?
Yeah, there's only one at this point.
So he's going across the bridge, and the camera goes across the river with him, but not on the bridge. It like goes simultaneously, but in the air across the river. Mm-hmm. And all I could think was, as I was watching, it was like, okay, I know how you did the stuff with the Steadicam, following the guy through trenches and across the field. How the hell did they do that? Because it wasn't CGI, I don't think.
I would have to believe it's a cable. Right,
it
must be like a cable you'd see in an NFL game that like zips
they
down.
Control,
but now, but you've got the camera being held by a camera person, and he's got to run and
maybe
run
that
and stay
one's
with
not.
Them. But at that point, he runs and shoots them and hooks it up to a cable.
No,
and
that
then they
was
pull
a
across.
that was a trick. I remember that part because it's one of the times where I go, oh, that's a cut. You know what I mean? They switch to the other camera. They go behind a pillar or you go behind his back or something when he's going to cross the bridge.
Uh-huh.
So most people would never even notice it. But it's just the camera does something to where it switches to that other camera.
Okay.
So it goes from handheld to the...
It's brilliantly done, but it was the one moment in the movie where I was taken out of the story for just a few seconds and started thinking about how the hell did they
but
do
that's,
that?
But
and
that's,
then back into the
that's
plot
not
of the
their
movie.
Fault, and that doesn't make it a bad... I mean, you just
no,
were
I'm,
wondering.
I'm,
when people say they're taken out, usually people are like, oh, because something bad happened. Like, I mean, they technically figured out how to do it, and you were just curious.
Yeah, but I could be taken out of the movie by somebody two rows ahead of me turning on their phone.
Yeah.
For just a second. I see that light, and it's like, wait, I'm in 1917, and now I'm in 2020.
But you don't think they poorly executed it because they did that.
No,
you were
no.
just curious.
I'm amazed at the movie.
Yeah.
I'm amazed, and I go, how the hell did they do
it
that?
It is.
Not why.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
There's not a single critique for this movie. Like, I can't think of one thing. I was like, I wish they would have done that, or this is a little off.
You know what this reminds me of? Gravity.
Yeah.
Remember how Gravity starts and doesn't stop, and she's going through that ship the whole time? And I don't like Gravity, but like,
you
was
didn't
like
Gravity?
No. I mean, I didn't say it was terrible, but
no,
I was not a fan, but that was a ride.
Yeah.
I saw that
for sure.
On a big screen, and
this,
I was
and
there.
And this one deserves to,
thrilled.
You need to see this on IMAX.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones that I will definitely
so
say.
So that's the last time I remember a movie feeling like this one. And there's been other great ones. I mean, Uncut Gems is very energetic and everything, but
in a different way.
But the fact that, you know, going through war was similar feeling to like her being lost in space.
Right.
And I just remember that it started and it never stopped. And this movie starts and without the cuts, doing the whole one take type of thing worked so well with this format.
And it moves.
Yeah.
Like it's,
and
it's,
what I love is that you stay with these characters either from their POV
or
you're looking at them. It never cuts away to the generals working at headquarters.
Sure.
Like, what should we do now?
The
it's
one
always with them.
We don't want to see.
Right.
You know, like the only time you see the higher ups is when our two characters have to interact with them.
I think my critique of the film, and I enjoyed it a lot, so is that I don't know that I would care if it were shot differently.
What do you mean?
Like, I think
like
if it was shot like a traditional movie, I don't think I would have been as invested. And so
is that a detriment to the movie though?
Yeah, I think it is. I think like it and I hesitate to call it a gimmick, but
that's what makes it great.
But that's what makes it great. Like, if it was done in a different way,
yeah,
I don't think the story itself is interesting enough to hold your attention.
That's fair.
If this was shot like Dunkirk,
yeah,
you know, I don't think you'd be loving it as much.
Maybe
it's the way it was shot that draws you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But because this movie doesn't have the character development you get in a movie like Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
Right. So someone,
I only disagree with that because the character that we follow the entire movie does have a character change.
Well, sure. But Saving Private Ryan, there's a whole cast of characters.
Right. Yeah.
You get to know them in depth. They have a lot of lines. I mean, you're with them and it's cutting and you're looking at Tom Hanks for emotion and you're really getting to know these people and it's a different type of movie. So, you know, that they're cutting because there's a lot of script and a lot going on over time.
Right.
This movie, yeah, you get to know these people and you care about them, but really it's the chase or that adventure that he's on that you care about. And yes, you care about him, which is great that they got you to do that in a little time.
Right.
But it's the ride that you're on that's the thrilling experience, and the technical way that it's achieved is just amazing.
What else did he do besides those two Bond movies? What else has he done?
He did a little comedy with John Krasinski and
Away We Go.
Away We Go.
Oh my God.
I love that movie.
What a, that's, yes.
One of those movies where you ask people about it, they've never seen it, you tell them to watch it, and they come back to you and go, thank you.
Yeah, that's a fantastic film.
And
I think when that came out, it had some like hipster backlash. People thought
it had that artsy poster.
And the poster was kind of reminiscent of Juno. And
it was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think they thought it was a little too
cute. Was she pregnant on the poster, or was it just...
It was marketed wrong. Well, that's all I remember.
But it's a wonderful movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
American Beauty. That's the one. Oscar winning American Beauty. Big one.
It's whatever.
I think American Beauty is good.
I don't think it holds up as well.
Really?
I
don't want to watch it because Creeper McCreeperson's in it, but I haven't watched one movie with him in it since that. I think I accidentally watched L.A. Confidential the same time you did for some reason.
Yeah, but he's barely...
Here's
the advantage of L.A. Confidential. He gets shot in the face.
Right.
So,
but I don't know. Every time I think of watching these great movies...
You can watch Seven, too.
Well, because...
He gets shot in the face.
He's not even billed as being in the movie. That's the benefit to that one. But
you would never watch Glenn Ross again? Because
I'm not saying I never would. I haven't. Okay. I just
will
every time
you
I
go to lunch.
Every time I want to watch one of these great movies, I'm just like, I just don't want to even. I don't
know.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Kind of skeeves me out.
He does like it. I feel like there are certain. But he's,
I don't know.
He's
I've really been
ones.
Enjoying Leonard Part 6.
Said nobody ever.
But yeah,
Ghost Dad. Yeah, Ghost Dad on repeat up there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought American Beauty was really good though. But I mean, obviously won Oscars.
But this is. I feel like this is not the same director.
Oh no!
You know
this
what
I mean?
Is a much
like, this
evolved.
Is a
this
very
is 20 years later.
Yes, yeah. So he's gone a different level, and we talked about how his Bond movies.
Oh, Road to Perdition! How could we
that's
forget
a good
that?
Flick. Yeah.
What a great movie! That's a comic book movie.
It is. Yeah. So. Well, it's a graphic novel. It's a different thing altogether.
Okay.
That's nerd.
Yeah.
So, and what I didn't like was Revolutionary Road, though.
No.
Who was in
2 hours of Leo and Kate yelling at each other. So, Marriage Story is my favorite movie of the year. And then Revolutionary Road is also about a failing marriage, but they just yell at each other for 2 hours.
Yeah.
There's no joy in that one. It's just like bickering and bantering.
I told you I could have fit on that damn door.
Michael Shannon would have won the Oscar if it wasn't for Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
That his scene in that, like him in that movie, though.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it was just great. The two of them yelling at each other. I was like so
disappointed. I'm so glad that he's continued to have a really good career.
Yeah.
He's such a good actor.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time
he dodged that Man of Steel bullet.
Every time I see him in something, I'm like, oh, he's in this.
That's a good point.
Did you see that he ad-libbed that line? Like, so
which line?
When in Knives Out, when Chris Evans shows up and he says something about like, you know, he wants some cookies or something.
Yeah.
And then Michael Shannon ad-libbed or improvised the line where he says, I hope that whatever the grandfather's name was, I hope he left you some milk for those cookies or something. It's just like a throwaway line, but it's
such
super funny.
He's such a weird dude, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's the only part of Shape of Water that I liked.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Iceman?
Yes.
Oh.
The Richard Kuklinski story?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
Oh.
Bug?
Oh, he's the bad guy in Bug. Well, not, the bad, not the bad guy. But
there's only two people in the movie, that's fair. Basically. But yeah.
He's in the top two in that movie.
He is. He got second billing.
Have you ever seen...
Speaking of a movie they did not know how to market.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They made that look like it was... A horror movie. It's Species. That's what we're doing. Not that at all.
Have you seen Man of Steel? I don't know.
Yes, I've seen that twice, at least. So this one, I mean, this film, it picks up with Will and the other guy.
Schofield and Blake are the two.
Right.
Okay. So then there's two. There are two British privates in World War One that are tasked with making it. They don't really say how far they have to go, but I feel like it couldn't have been terribly far.
Through enemy territory, though.
Right.
Across France.
But. Yeah, and they do say no man's land. I was like, well, yeah, just get Wonder Woman.
I know. I'm like, where's Wonder Woman?
This is very simple. I saw her do this.
It's like, what a historical inaccuracy to not have Wonder Woman.
They didn't
get
the Amazon goddess to walk across no man's land and take care of everything for
them. Maybe they were a few miles down.
That's a good point.
Yeah. She's fighting her battle over here.
They're watching it off in the distance. Yeah. They're like, what the hell's going on over there?
I think it's just another example of, you know, the men taking women out of history, you know?
Yeah.
Like Little Women made $74 million. If it was Little Men, it would have made $174 million.
Because
they make 75 cents
on
the dollar.
That's correct. Yeah, right.
So they go talk to Colin Firth, who tells them they've got to go on this.
Can I tell you how much I love the fact that your big name actors are in this movie for 5-10 minutes?
Yes,
and they're only like. The generals and sergeants, not sergeants, but like
the two main characters are unknowns. And I think that was brilliant to cast them that way.
That dude that.
So you don't just see the action hero during the whole time.
It turns these characters into everymen.
Yeah. They're us. We're on this journey with them. And you know.
But I love the way it's filmed. So we talk about the one take thing. So they go into the war room and it's like very dark in there. It's hardly lit, you know. And so Deacon's like, you can see them, but it's really cool. It's realistic for the lighting they'd have it in these bunkers and everything. And so he's talking to Firth and the camera goes all in this one take from his face down to the plans.
Yep.
And then he turns around and goes to another map and it stays at his back.
Yep.
And then you see the two main characters' face as they're watching him show the plans.
Yep.
I just love how the focus was on them, like Paul mentioned earlier. And it's like they weren't just like, oh, we've got Colin Firth. It was like he was there and he turns around and then he basically
I think you see Mark Strong's face for 2 minutes.
It's very short.
I mean, as soon as he starts talking, you're like, well, I know that.
It has a great supporting cast. But yeah, they're not the stars of this movie.
No, not at all. They're just like, I feel like they are there to be like, oh, there's that guy.
The two actors are George McKay and Dean Charles Chapman. So I just want to say their names. Those are the
great.
Two newcomers.
They're both...
I mean, I don't know if they've never been in anything, but they're not names.
No. Next year you'll be talking about it. Remember last year we saw?
Yeah. So just so you remember those names, George McKay, Dean Charles Chapman.
There
those are the two guys. And they're great in this.
Oh, yeah. So they are tasked with getting to this battalion who's about to lead a strike on the German forces. They think they have the Germans on the ropes, but it turns out they do not. The Germans have been planning this the entire time.
It's
a setup.
Yeah, they're baiting them.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So one of our soldiers, Blake, his brother, is a lieutenant. Which I'm just like, just say lieutenant. I get it.
I love how they say it's just lieutenant. They just say lieutenant, right? Yeah. It's the same ranking, though.
It's the same ranking.
I love how they say that. I don't know why, but whenever you're watching British dramas and even when they're like in their fancy outfits or whatever, you know, like not at war, but they're just like talking to different generals and stuff. I just love it when they say lieutenant.
You know, I can understand. Okay, you call a truck a lorry. It's a different word. I get it. How do you get lieutenant and aluminium?
Yeah, where's the F?
Those letters are not in the actual word.
I know. I don't understand where the F, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, why do they say that? But I'm like, it sounds cool.
Whatever.
It sounds fancy, right?
Like, it sounds fancy, yeah.
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant. So Blake's brother is a lieutenant at this next site, and I don't know why.
Blake's brother is Rob Stark. I didn't
expect
that. It is
Rob Stark, yeah.
I didn't know who was in this movie before I watched it, you know? And so I love seeing these people pop up and...
And he was, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's weird to think, like, that dude.
He was the prince.
Is it Richard Matheson?
Richard Madden? He was in.
Madden.
Richard Madden.
Okay.
Yeah. He was in Rocketman, and he was the prince in Cinderella.
And he's the main character of The Eternals. In Marvel's The Eternals.
So, yeah, he's had a good little career after Game of Thrones.
Yeah, for sure. He was also on, he had a good little show called The Bodyguard. on Netflix.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Okay. Oh, so he's like an ex-British soldier who was tasked with.
I saw the previews.
So like, good.
They tried to get me to watch that on Netflix all the time.
6 episodes, worth it.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
So they're like, your brother's there. Like, we need to get you need to get there and tell them to stop. Because if they don't stop, we're going to lose, basically. We're going to lose all of our men.
And they look.
Wait, let me just correct you. Bodyguard. Not The Bodyguard.
Because I was going to say, is that a Bodyguard, TV show based on?
The Bodyguard is the Whitney Houston, Kevin Costner movie. Right. This one's just called Bodyguard.
I've never seen that movie, and I heard it was good.
I've never seen that movie.
The Bodyguard?
Yeah.
The Bodyguard. I remember enjoying it for what it was when it came out.
Because I talked to Blake, and I was like,
I've never revisited it.
He's like, it's good.
But I remember at the time being like, oh,
okay, yeah.
That's a good movie.
Probably her most famous song? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think that's her signature song.
I Will Always Love You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the song that's made Dolly Parton the most money.
Yeah.
Did she write that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, she wrote that song.
Oh, well played.
Yeah, that was a hit for her before, like in the 70s.
Did you see her? I just saw a thing with her on Fallon where she says, like, she tells a story about how this guy walks up. This guy walks up to her at a restaurant, says hello, and walks away. As she's going up to pay, she's like, oh, the clerk is like, oh, your grandfather left you the check. And Dolly Parton's like, my grandfather? He was like, yeah, the guy that was just you said hello to. She was like, man. So she takes the check and then she goes outside and she sees the guy. And she was like, you know, I would have been happy to pay for your food. You didn't have to, like, you know, say you were my grandma and lie. And she's like, and the guy picked up like this bat and hit me across the chest. And Jimmy Fallon's like, what? He goes, what happened? She's like, well, the swelling never went down.
Oh, my God.
And, like, Fallon was just like, holy, I cannot believe
that.
Totally hooked. Yeah.
I was
the whole time.
Even you telling that, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, that's when Fallon was like, somebody hit Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
And then she just delivered the punchline.
She was great. Yeah. I saw the clip on YouTube.
So they're just.
They say, is it only us? And then he says some saying that I don't remember the saying, but basically saying, like, you know, the less people, you're gonna have an easier time not getting spotted.
You move faster. And they were just like, all right. I do like in the very beginning when they're sleeping and the guy's like, pick someone to go with you, and the guy just puts his hand out and the guy's like, god dang it, like, the two dudes are just like, yeah, like they're buddies, like, this is just, you know, of course he was gonna pick this guy.
Yeah.
So they take off, they get their gear, and I do like that there's no hesitation on Blake's part. He's just like, okay, we got to go. Like, my brother's there. I got to save my brother.
Well, this is a good time to mention that, is it they won't?
They shall not grow old.
They shall not grow old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Peter Jackson doc.
Yeah, so that I wanted to see it since I saw the trailer online like a year and a half ago
or whatever.
But Paul was telling me how good it was. And I'm like, yeah, I really wanted to see that. So I ended up watching it yesterday.
Oh, good.
And when you see in that film, you know, you hear all these real clips of people that survived through World War One, and they were like, you know, we were 16, 17, you know, we all wanted to go to war. We lied about our age to go. And then he's like, you did what you were told, and we were there to, like, the commitment to do what they were there to do, I think, was impressive. And, you know, to Joe's point, they don't, in this movie, you don't hear them hesitate. They don't say, oh, I'm really nervous. Well, I don't want to do this.
The buddy is... he's just going along. I mean, he's with his friend no matter what, but it's Blake who's like, he's knocking through people. He's like, people are coming the wrong way. He's bowling, like, he's shoulder tackling people to get
Blake
out of the way.
He is stressed out. He's trying to get his brother. He's on the front line.
Not only is he trying to stop this attack from happening, but his brother's there.
But I just, to the point, I mean, watch that documentary. It's amazing.
One of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
Oh, it's incredible. And the way that they take this old black and white real footage from 100 years ago.
He cleans it up.
Oh, does he clean it up? I mean, it's a high def colorized.
Oh, okay.
He spent like 5 years working on this movie. It's
and what
crazy.
I like about it is at the beginning, it's just the original kind of ratty film. Mm-hmm. And then as the movie goes along, he adds a layer of technology. So, okay, here he colorizes it. Okay, here now the guys who are, you would never have heard them because it was silent film. He takes the audio from
like
BBC interviews done in the 30s and 40s and puts it in the mouths of these guys, and their mouths actually move with the words that he's putting in the mouth. It's a stunning effect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool. And even before they colorize the footage, they start adding posters and like things from the time. And like, at first it's only yellow. I noticed it was all yellow. Then they added more color. It's just really neat what he does to hook you in there.
It's
and
brilliant.
And and then it expands into color, and you're just like, holy cow, this is 100 years ago.
It's also a war that I don't think gets talked about ever.
It doesn't.
World War II is never talked about.
There World
are
War very, I.
There aren't near as many World War One movies as there are World War II movies.
And by the way, I don't remember any other movie I've seen that really showed you the horrors of war.
I feel like Saving Private Ryan.
No, not like this. Because these guys, the life they're living, even when they're not in battles.
Oh, sure, sure.
It's unbelievably hard
for them.
Are
you talking
about
this?
No, They Shall Not Grow Old.
Okay.
The
real footage of these real guys and what they had to do, you know, just going to the bathroom.
On a log, lined up.
Yeah, sitting next to each other on a log over a river, and that's it. And then they have to walk through that stuff and fall into it. And just digging, you know, you see those trenches in this movie, 1917.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. These guys had to dig them while being fired upon.
When I was watching this movie and I saw the elaborate trenches, and you know, you've seen pictures and stuff before, but I'm watching this movie and I'm like, that's a lot of work. And then you see the guys and They Shall Not Grow Old, and they're carrying around their shovels,
right?
Stuff.
Right,
it's like, God, the work that went into creating
I'm glad you brought that up. Is you see the British tunnels and the trenches, and they're very makeshift, right? Like, it's just like gravel that you're hoping doesn't fall into the thing. And then when they get to the Germans, and it's like they've got you know, like two lanes, and they've got sandbags, and you're just like, you don't really realize how far ahead the Germans actually were, like technology and like the not. And I say technology.
They also wanted to attack.
They had these massive shell. Like, there's one point where they're walking through this German base, and it looks like they look like our characters look like hobbits. Like, the shells from these guns are so big that they look like they've superimposed our characters. Because they're so small next to them. So they go and they make their way through the trenches, and they run into the guy who played Moriarty on Sherlock. The next guy they run into is like, "Are you our relief?" And he was like, "No, but we have to."
I wasn't sure who that was.
He played Moriarty on Sherlock.
I liked
Sherlock.
Him. He played this character. He's like, so the general or whoever is dead, so he's like the next in command. You know, he's waiting for relief. One's coming. He doesn't want to be there.
I do like the line. He was like, "Hey, settle a bet for me. What is today?" And they're like, "Friday." He's like, "Wow, you're all wrong.
Got it
that
wrong.
Dummy thought it was Tuesday."
And I like it in the background here, the guy goes, "Sorry." Like, because I guess the other guy probably swore up and down that it was whatever.
Right.
Sorry. But this guy is great. And it's just very like, I'm not even supposed to be here today. You know, he now has to lead these troops because everyone else has died and he's not getting what he needs. I thought he was good. I just didn't know who he was.
Yeah, he was. If you watch he plays Moriarty.
Okay.
Spoilers, I guess, when you see the kid, whatever. So they have to climb up this. I mean, it's the no man land scene in Wonder Woman. Like, that's exactly what it looks like.
And
they have to climb up this ladder to this top.
And the tension, like the way they approach it,
the camera does just kind of like,
so it's methodical. You know, it's not. I mean, this movie, and it's never boring. It's so interesting. There's so much to look at, but the way the camera moves, it moves with them, and you can sense their hesitation. Right, like these people are like, "You're crazy. You can't cross over here." And then, you know, they're like, "Oh yeah, no, they've all retreated. They have aerials. Like, we'll be fine."
Yeah, I do. But like the Moriarty's like, "No, they haven't.
Yeah,
what are they talking? They haven't retreated. What are you dumb?"
Yeah. And so they're like, "Yeah, you know, we already know. We got to go." And so they go up these ladders, but the hesitation there, because still, even them, they know what they might encounter, and they're not sure. And so it lingers there. And then the score by Thomas Newman. I thought the score for this film
was
excellent.
Really, it was really good.
Yes.
When it ramps up, I mean, it's very, you know, it all feels very natural. But when they get to the battlefields, every time they have to cross no man's land, or they're, you know, in the crap, you know, it just when it picks up, you really feel it.
And this is, so the camera kind of sits on our main characters' backs, basically, and as they go up, the camera goes up, and I feel like the camera is like maybe an inch above their head, to where you can see the crest of the trench before they climb
it
up.
Finally pops up and you see it all,
right?
Like, you're up with
and then
you're cool.
they make their way across, and it's kind of there is tension, but our characters aren't in danger yet.
Yeah. Like, well, there's that tension that builds, and there's relief because they see there's no one. It's
cleared
out.
Right.
But, you know, the way the camera moves around them, like you mentioned, their backs at this point. But something that I thought was, again, by Deakins, this brilliant cinematography, is like when they're going through those trenches and you're behind them, and then it moves around to in front of them.
Yep.
And then one of the soldiers goes, you know, you're following him, and the other one butts in front of him, and now you're following him in front. Like, you don't see a lot of movies where the people walk toward the camera. Usually you're behind them, or they're stationary and you're looking at them. But like, this movie will go from behind to the front, and they're walking towards you. You just really feel on the ground.
You're in it with them.
Yeah, and the way the camera moves around them, though, switching, it's so flawless. It doesn't ever feel like jerky, or like they have to move fast to get around them. Like the movement of the cameras is so well planned that it's just smooth. It just perfectly transitions around them. And I'm just like, how do they do it? How on earth? And those close quarters.
This is one of the times where I was like, I need like a five hour behind the scenes with what
go
the
online.
Hell they did.
We like when Hitchcock did it in Rope, it was, I mean, it was basically a stage
play.
Well,
you're room to room. Yeah,
right. And so it wasn't, but here it's like, there's just so much going.
Those
so
trenches,
many moving parts.
You know, yeah, exactly. You can't fit two grown adults. Can't
bumping
walk
the guys.
Down
that's
those
why
trenches together.
I mean, is it George? Who's Blake? Blake is bumping into people. Yeah. He's all stressed out, and you know, even runs into one guy, and the guy's like, "Watch where you're going." And I like it because you hear in the background people are like, "Get it, you're going the wrong way, you idiots."
Yeah,
and stuff.
I do.
Like,
yeah, this is
all the little banter from the people that is realistic. Because if you're on the ground, there's soldiers and they're all doing something, and they're getting bumped into, and people are going the wrong way. You know, they're gonna be like, "What are you doing, you idiot?"
Yeah, you're
like,
going. You're clogging up the works here.
Yeah.
So they get across, and they drop down into a German bunker.
Oh, well, before you have to mention Schofield gets his hand stuck on barbed wire,
and then he puts his
and then
God.
When they go into this bunker,
the first he gets it caught on the barbed wire.
Yeah,
then they fall down into the trench.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And he puts his hand into a dead body
because Blake bumps into him, and his injured bloody hand goes into the rotting corpus.
Yeah.
Carcass of it's
we're
so gross.
Trademarking that a corpses.
Well, yeah, I was thinking corp and carcass. Yeah. So,
as soon as the hand goes into the corpse, I was like, well, you're gonna lose that hand. That just cut it off now. That's your best.
Yeah, you're like, that's gotta be. There's rats.
Where zombies come from?
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, this is a zombie movie.
What if this turned into the zombie?
It's Overlord 2.
Yeah, say we did that.
So that is a running thing throughout this movie is his hand, and it's not like. It's never a detriment, but he is always putting it in like, oh, here's the guts of this guy. Here's the mud. Here's the
boop. But you know what's cool, though, is that after he does that, he holds his gun differently.
He does.
The little body language choices, he's
until he wraps it up.
But I just noticed, you know, he's like still gung ho. He's on the mission.
Yeah.
But just the way he carries it, they did a good job of being consistent.
The other thing I liked is, we know that this battlefield was probably riddled with bodies, but it's pretty sparse. But when you do get them, you're just like, yeah, those are gross. That's about what I thought was going to happen. So it's not like they don't over, like in Saving Private Ryan, it was like guys getting their faces blown off and, you know, their arms and legs and puke and like everything going everywhere. Where in this, it's subtle enough where you know what has happened, but they're not like, we're going to show you exactly
it's
what happened.
It's not a super gruesome, gory.
No, that
D-Day
scene is pretty gnarly.
Like, you see some bodies and things, the aftermath, but it's not like you're seeing those body parts explode.
Right, correct. Until he puts his arm in the guy's chest.
Yeah.
Which is just gross. That's just
I was like, just pull his heart out and be like, look.
Lunch.
So they get to the German bunker, and things actually, this is where things are like, all right, we're moving right along. We're okay. I couldn't figure out what was in the bags with the rats when they go into like the I do like where they when they
oh,
go
the
into
traps?
Is that what
they,
that was?
Well, there was like food so the rats would get to them and set those bombs off.
Is that what
they
were
trying
to do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Those were like timed bombs because the rats were going to get to them and when they did it would trigger
when
an explosive.
They would pull the oh, I gotcha.
That
that's
was
what,
gnarly, yeah.
Yeah. I do like where they go into like the bunker.
Because they
bunker,
think
it's
all
like,
fine, and then he's like, oh, crap. And
yeah,
because there are trip mines all around.
Right.
So a rat dragging the food or whatever tripped the trip mine.
That makes
trip
sense.
Trip line.
Oh, trip line. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trip wire. Whatever.
But I do like that when they go into like the barracks, and they're like, look at all this. Look at how nice it is.
You
and
think it's all great until that rat starts dragging the thing, and you see it, and you're like, oh, crap.
Well, they find like those cans of food, and they're just like, what is that? He's like, that's dog food. Dog meat. And he was like, nah, what's in the other one? What are you got over there? This rat like pulls a bag and drops it off. I assume it's full of blood or guts or whatever. Cause that's the only thing that would attract a rat at this point. Blows the trip mine. And you think you're losing Will, which you don't. Like, this is the scene that I was like, okay, these guys are dudes. Like, they're bros, they're mates. So Blake kind of pulls Will out.
Pulls him out of the rubble.
He's like, just put this whole thing's coming down. And this is a great scene where like everything's falling down around them, and Blake kind of has to guide Will.
It's dark
out of the thing. He's like, "Don't let go of me.
Yeah,
just follow me."
See, like, yeah. I guess the explosion, like,
he's always got like all the dirt and muck in his eyes. He can't.
I thought
see
he was
going to
be blind. You know, at this point in the movie, because he couldn't see. I'm like, "Oh crap! Now he's going to be wandering around."
Right. So they this great scene where they have to jump across like a this thing, this cavern, and he was like, "Just jump!" Oh, and he was like, what?
Yeah.
He's like, just jump straight. I'm going to
so
catch you.
It's so intense.
Yeah.
And again, I think the one shot, it's that kinetic movement, that energy
it
never
non-stop.
Lets up.
Yeah.
That really intensifies this stuff, because these are little things that may in a normal narrative may not seem as intense or stressful, but the fact that you feel like you're there with them and it's all happening
and it's so small
and there's no cuts to, like, you know, oh, well, that's a movie thing. You know, it doesn't feel like a general movie because, you know, you're there, you're seeing it all happen.
My wife wanted to see this, and then I saw it, and I was like, don't. Like, she doesn't do tight spaces. She does not like tight spaces. Mm. And I was like, this
Never watched The Descent instead.
No, yeah, that's right.
Buried.
Yeah. So they get out, and this is where he's like, why, Will, the guy that was covered in the rubble? He's like, why did you pick me? He's like, I didn't know. Like, I thought we were going to go get food. I didn't know it was going to be like, he is very apologetic. He did not. He's like, you can go. Like, I get it. If you want to go. And Will's just like, no, I'll stay. Like, God, let's keep going.
Like, staying is a better option.
Yeah. Right. Like, what are my options? My options are going back through that or staying with you. I'll stick with you because you're my buddy.
You and this mission or the rats and the tripwires. Yeah. I don't know.
What do I want to do? So now we get to, this is where we get to the farmhouse. They see the farmhouse on the horizon. They get into the farmhouse and it's deserted for the most part. There's nothing there.
They see their guys overhead, the planes.
This is my favorite
scene.
The dogfight.
Easily.
Yeah.
Hands,
this is
crazy.
This is the best part of the whole, this is the best scene of the whole movie is you do see, like, you see them, those two planes earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
But
they're like scouting. They were their guys at first.
And now there's a dogfight. Mm. And what is brilliant is Sam Mendes does not show you the dogfight.
Correct.
Well, he does.
He does, but very like, far away.
From their POV. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. But Will sees a can of milk and he gets super excited.
You know how many movies would have cut away to the two pilots and the dogfight and the, like, intricate footage of it up close?
To Tom's point, if this is a I'd say Michael Bay because I only think of Pearl Harbor, but if this is a Steven Spielberg, Michael Bay movie, we're watching that dogfight from inside the cockpit.
For 5 minutes.
Of course. Well, and you're watching any war movie.
But then you wouldn't have filmed the movie this way.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, saying is like you don't.
Any other movie is filmed normally. Like you cut to the action, not people looking at it, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, the way that you don't suspect anything, they're in the distance. It's a dogfight.
Yeah.
Cool. And they're like, I think they're like, who's
winning?
He's like,
we are. We got 2-on-1. We got him.
Yeah.
And then he's coming down and you're just like.
And then it's getting closer and closer. The dot's
like,
getting closer. And then they're running away from it. And it's amazing the way they filmed this. And I don't know. I haven't seen the behind the scenes, but just the look of it, how smooth it is. And
I have to believe there's some CG involved.
I'm guessing.
But it
doesn't look like much.
It does not look like much. It is seamless. This is the time that CG works to make everything flow together.
Flawless. Like the way that the plane is crashing, going towards them, they're running, and then it crashes through a barn that they're running through.
Right.
It just looks
squishes
seamless.
And even if parts of that are computer generated, there's so much practical stuff
absolutely.
In this movie.
Yeah.
And this is what I was thinking about earlier. You know, when they're going through the trenches, the shots take 6, 7, 8 minutes before they'll cut, you know, on the back of somebody or through a pillar, like you were saying before.
Yeah.
But every time somebody screws up, or they don't do it, or Sam Mendes just said, you know what, let's reset, let's go again. How long does it take to reset all that?
That's a great question.
And in this case, what do you do after the plane has crashed, and now it's crashed into the dirt, it's stuck up the dirt, it's knocked over the barn, it's like, all right, we need to reset that. Okay, we'll see you Tuesday.
That's you do it on the first try, or there's some trickery going on.
Yeah, we got nothing else we can do.
It looks great, and it the way that it transitioned, if it is CGI, it all feels practical.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can share some clips online, but I have seen a couple behind the scenes clips.
I've seen the running
and you
clip.
See the practical nature of this film. You see all the guys running, you see the, like, you know, mortars going off and around them the dirt flying. And I mean, this is a movie much like Mad Max, to where there's a lot of practical and you feel it. That's why this movie feels so grounded and real.
Yeah.
And the stakes are high, because, you know, we've said it time and time again, it's like when you use practical effects, it feels real.
Yeah.
And they're not just doing a whole bunch of CG. They are surely tuning things up with CG, like in this scene probably, and you know, don't know how they did it, but there's some touch ups and they're doing whatever with the plane, and they can't have a plane really come at these actors and
that's
kill them
true.
On
yeah,
you
right,
know
right.
They'll have to reshoot the whole movie again.
We got John Landis directing this movie.
So
wow
too soon.
Zing.
Is it?
So but yeah, it's the, again, to Sam Mendes's credit, the technical achievement here,
I'm really glad he did not do Another Day to Die or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I think he's a fantastic, I loved his Bond movies, both of them. I know that the last one kind of, it's interesting that we get this movie that has all of these tracking shots, and then he did it in that last one and it didn't work. Remember in that first Bond, in that last Bond movie,
Spectre?
Yeah, we could tell, you could tell how fake it was in that one.
Yeah.
Like, I obviously he has the capability, but you're right. I remember that first tracking
shot. He was like,
how,
I'll tell you what, let me get this right.
Yeah,
and I'll do a whole movie with it.
Because that one,
I'm gonna learn on your dime.
Yeah, right. that beginning of Spectre really felt tricky.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't cleverly masked like in this one, and there were long shots that just had one clever thing.
Right.
It was like they went behind people and walls, you know, 13, 15 times in that opening shot. It was like, what are you?
No, it doesn't work.
Why are you even doing this?
Not the way
then?
This works.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they the plane crashes and Blake and Will try to pull this. And you know what? It's
like Blake's such a good dude.
That's exactly and it. He's like, we're both soldiers. Like, I'm not gonna let you burn
the
alive
plane's on
in
fire,
there. Right?
So he goes to rescue the German soldier. And
they
what
pull,
does
they
he
pull,
do?
They pull him out, and then he tells Will to go get some water. Which I was like, what are you gonna do with that water? Because that is gross.
Yeah.
That was some brown water.
You better keep pumping for a little bit,
right? And then all of a sudden, you hear, it's almost like a whimper.
Yeah.
And Will turns around, and this German soldier has, he gutted.
Yeah.
Blake.
It's so tragic because it's off screen. You think everything's right. Go get him some water. He's helping him. I mean,
we're going to put his
legs
out.
They're going to save him. You know, like, you don't think anything of it, but.
Right. And then all of a sudden, Will picks up his rifle and shoots this guy in the face. Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, I know I talked about the violence, but, or the gore, basically. But it's so far back, you can't see anything happen.
Yeah, it's not a gore shot. The shooting that happens in this movie, for the most part, is not like, oh my gosh, he shot him and the brains are splattering. I mean,
right.
It's a war movie. There are people shot, but
it's
not gratuitous.
No. I feel like it's very realistic. So he runs over to Blake and tries to pick him up, and it's just like, as soon as he takes his hand off the wound, and it just starts, blood just starts pouring out of him, and just like, well, and I do like,
and the acting, these two guys. I mean, talk about the performance from these two guys that before this, no one knows these names.
And I do like that they definitely did CG on,
because you can see the color
just
draining
from his face, and you're just like, oh, God.
I figure, I guess maybe that is CG. But to me, I was,
it could have been makeup.
Like,
it's
the camera
was good acting.
but they can't.
No. Stab me over
to the role.
Stab me over here.
But I thought maybe because the camera did move off of him and onto the other guy, and I thought maybe they were able to quickly do some kind of a practical effect on him. But yeah, it's as he's losing blood, he's getting more pale and more pale, and when he's dead, it's just gone.
Gone.
The color is gone.
Yeah.
But again, the performance, you got to give these guys credit.
When he,
you know,
when,
going through this.
So he's holding Will, who is becoming our main character at this point. He's holding Blake.
By process of elimination.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yes.
So Schofield is Will.
Schofield. Yeah, the only reason we find out his name is Will at the end of the movie, and that's, he's holding him, and he was just like, am I dying? And he was just like, yep. Yes, you are. He's like, so talk to me, and he starts, he starts singing a song, or he starts telling him, like, he starts telling him something, and then you just see, like, Blake just kind of go.
He keep, and like, well, he's trying to save him, you know?
Blake's will do that.
They will. They'll pop back every once in a while, you know.
Not this one.
Not this one.
But Will is
zombies. We talked about it.
Will's picking Blake up and trying to move him.
Yeah, his legs
and this
just,
dude is, he can't move or anything.
His
and
legs
he
aren't
can,
working.
And the pain, the screams, the agony that Blake's going
agony.
Through. And then eventually he just, you know.
So he dies, and Will just, he takes off his rings. He takes the letter from the general that says, we got to stop.
And does he give
goes his wallet?
Yeah, he does.
Is there
kinda.
A letter to the brother or the parents? Or
he definitely takes, he takes something.
Oh no, there was a journal, but it's soaked in blood.
Yeah. He was like,
he was going to take it.
I do like
it.
Where he looks at, he's like,
he was going to probably take it to give to the family, but then he's like, well, this is
useless.
So
he said, write to my mom and just tell her that I wasn't afraid. And it was like, oh, this is terrible. And not in a bad way.
That he wasn't alone or afraid.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
And he's like, I got you. He didn't say that.
He said, I got you.
He's like, I got you, brah.
Yeah.
He said word and then just closed his eyes.
And then Will kind of drags him off to the side. And then all of a sudden there's two more soldiers. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
They're good guys. They're the Brits. We're okay. But I was like, where did these two jerk offs come from?
I'm guessing they probably landed their planes.
Well, they said we saw the smoke.
Oh.
So okay. They were coming from somewhere. So like if they had just waited, there's a scene when Will is sitting in this van with all of these people, and it's like if they would have just waited a minute.
Sure. I mean that's
you know, Blake is still
alive. Anything, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But he's trying to save a guy on fire. Like
sure.
He died doing the right thing, even though it was the enemy.
Yeah. There's a lesson for you kids. Don't try to save people right. on fire.
No, in Frozen they say do the next right thing. No.
No.
Do
this
not.
Is what, this is what happens when
do
you
do not
the,
do the next
when you do
right
the next
thing.
Right thing. This is where we're introduced to Mark Strong as this captain. And it's like Mark Strong is
Captain Smith.
I'm so good. Like, as soon as he starts talking, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's blow some stuff up. You know what's... He's so good. I love Mark Strong.
Yeah,
I wish he would do, like, better stuff. But
I always call him... When he first hit the scene, I call him the new Andy Garcia. Didn't Mark Strong just take all the Andy Garcia roles?
Well, it doesn't help that he kind of looks like Andy Garcia.
Yes. Well, that's what... He's not... If Mark Strong weren't a better actor, I would call him not Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia is a pretty good actor.
But, I know, but...
No, how no, we if, refer to people
oh,
as
oh,
like,
I would call
not
him. But Mark Strong is good, so he doesn't get that. But he looks like him, and he took all the roles Andy Garcia would take.
Do you think Andy Garcia would have been Sinestro?
See, you know, the mob boss guys and this villain that look... He took over for him, and yeah. I always thought of him like that. But he's been around now so long, I just call him Mark Strong. But
he's
it used
so
to be
good.
Like, oh,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, so he kind of says, he's like, what are we doing? What are you doing? And he's like, I got to get to the front lines. Like, I've got this letter from the captain or from the general. And I do like where even Mark Strong's like, you need to make sure there's witnesses. And Will's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, just make sure there's people around when you give them this message. And he was like, why? He goes, some dudes just want to fight. When we get to the end, you're like, he wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where we end up with Benedict Cumberbatch, who's like the dude on the front lines here who... refuses.
Someone online, when they were talking about this movie and talking about him showing up, they called him Benny Cums as his nickname.
That's
I'm
not
like,
a,
I'm mean, like I've never heard that one before.
I hope that doesn't stick.
I just thought it was hilarious. Yeah. So it's like when Benny Cums shows up and like, someone's like, what? Oh well, I'm not gonna forget that now.
Yeah. So he's like hop in the back. I do like where they've got, I feel like that other like higher up was probably some other British actor, but we never see him. You know, like the guy who's in the car who's like, move the tree.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that's probably somebody else, but we never see his face.
He's probably got a big hit on the BBC. We've
that
never
could
heard
be.
Of.
Yeah, he's on Downton Abbey yeah. or something. I don't
well,
know.
That's we've heard
I guess
of that.
We've heard of that. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So he basically says, get in the back. We'll take you as far as we can go. And then
this is a good shot. You see him. So there's this
so
is
so good.
This is a battalion or a group of guys that obviously they're all together. He just gets stuck right in the middle,
right
around them talking, and they all know each other, and they're kind of looking at him, and he's just, I mean, he's in shock, or he's, you know, he's mourning
all of the above.
Blake's death, and so he's sitting there just trying to figure out, I've got to carry on with this mission, and all the things that internally he's struggling with that we don't even know yet, but
right.
you know, trying to think.
Well,
and
he does say at one point, he's like, you can't go home. Mm-hmm. He tells Blake that. He's like, don't go home. Like, you just can't. Once we leave here, and what I appreciate about this movie is I feel like in 2019, 2020, a director is going to try to get political with, like, war is bad or, you know, we got to take care of our soldiers when they come home. This never does that. This never feels like he's trying to send a message about not going home, whether it's because he has PTSD and he can't relate to going home anymore. Because
this
what.
Movie's
it's
just about the mission.
It's just about these two dudes trying to get
it's
to
simple.
Right. Point
I mean,
A to point B. That's what they're trying to do.
The execution's complex, but
sure.
The idea is simple. It's get this letter to this guy.
Right.
And what happens in between.
Right.
And it's amazing the way they pulled it off and made it feel realistic and captured it all. But at the end of the day, it's not as complex
no.
of a...
Can we just stop for a moment here and think about the idea, again, of over 100 years ago about you are point A and you got to get to point B and it's across land that is not marked
yeah.
in any way.
No cell phones, no maps. Well, I guess he doesn't have a map anymore.
Did they even take out compasses in
no.
this movie?
I felt like it was on his watch. But maybe it was just looking at his watch to see what time.
Yeah,
okay,
I didn't see them looking anything.
We have to go north, 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 northeast, east, east.
You know, I don't know how they
have to turn 4 degrees this way. There's no talk of that in the movie. They just keep going in that direction. How do they know that that's where the battalion's going to be?
I have no idea. I have no idea. So the truck gets stuck in the mud, and immediately, like, Will goes into action, and he was like, let's go, like, everybody out, and they start.
Because everyone else is, like, not exactly gung-ho about going to the front lines.
Yeah, right.
But he's just lost his best friend, and he knows what's at stake, and so he's like, no, we have to move.
We gotta get this thing out of the mud.
He rallies them eventually, and it's a really good scene with them all working together.
Yeah, finally, he's, I mean, I will say, the way he's trying to push that car, I was like, you need to turn around, like, you digging your feet, you're not gonna Superman this thing out of the mud, like, you got to turn around, you're not gonna get any traction trying to, like, muscle it up with your back, you goofball. So they finally get the thing, they get the truck out of the mud, and then all of a sudden the bridge is down, and like, the kid's like, all right, man, I gotta go, like, this is as far as I can get you,
good luck.
And this is where we get to the scene that we were talking about, where he has to, like, jump across this bridge, and he's getting shot at, and, like, now the Germans are there, like, that they're in this little blown out town, I guess this is where we are.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, to be precise, it's the bombed out village of Ecouse Saint-Mien.
Thank you.
I knew you'd know.
Yeah.
You're something of our World War One historian.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah no problem.
I don't remember when it happens. Did we miss the point, or I don't remember where it falls, the thing where he's just running, and then he runs out of ground, and he falls.
That's right before he gets to Cumberbatch.
Okay, that's my second favorite scene.
That's practical.
Yeah,
he jumped off a cliff onto some, like, mattress pads.
Yeah,
but, you know, like, the actor was running
to the river.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was running.
And the camera
and running
follows him. Yeah,
because he really ran and jumped. Yeah. That was all practical. which is crazy.
That and the airplane were the two moments in the movie where I was just like, "How are they doing this?"
Yeah.
Where I actually, like, gasped. And was like, whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
I'll have to send you that last one, because I just watched that this morning. I'm like, geez, they just followed. I mean, this guy's running, and these guys are on motorcycles with cameras.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
That's sometimes dope. They're on motorcycles. The guy's on a motorcycle with a camera operating it.
That's so cool.
It's just unbelievable.
I love, like, that's the kind of filmmaking that is my jam.
It's
like, that's the
Crank.
Kinda.
Remember, they're on the side of the car on rollerblades filming Jason Statham.
Like, that's the kind of stuff
that
I
happened
love.
To those guys?
They did Ghost Rider.
Oh.
And that was it.
I love Crank. Crank
they did
is...
Ghost Rider 2.
Okay.
So not even the guy that did Daredevil.
Yeah.
And then Simon Birch directed the first.
Oh, Simon
directed
Birch.
The first. Yeah.
I love that book so much.
Not the movie.
But the movie was. Yeah.
And then he directed the first Ghost Rider. And then they brought back the guys that did Crank to do. Yeah. This has been your not MCU flashback.
So he goes across the bridge, you know, it's another stressful moment, he's trying to get across, he's getting shot at, and he ends up in a little village, and kind of like that Wonder Woman scene.
I loved this scene where
guy,
like,
in the bell tower kind of thing, he's up in a building, and
right, he shoots him,
he's
and
shooting
he
at him,
takes him down, and then
I mean, there's no response, so he's
right,
like,
he's just,
I guess
he's running and firing, there's no response back.
He goes
and as he opens the door, the guy shoots him, and I was like, oh no,
and he, like, shoots him also,
he
as
shoots
he falls,
yeah, they
the,
both
yeah.
they both shoot
each other,
yeah. And then he wakes up, and he realizes it's nighttime at this point. Well, it's probably like 4 a.m.
Right.
He's been knocked out for a while. So he kind of stumbles down. We see, like, this village or this town is on fire.
Yeah.
And you see a guy. This is probably my third favorite scene, where you see the guy off in the distance. And, like, even.
Is this the drunk guy?
No.
And his partner? Okay.
Well,
because he takes out the one guy.
We get to them.
Yeah.
But you see this guy in the distance. Mm-hmm. And, like, even as you are looking at him, as Will is looking at him, you're like, is he on my side? Like, are we?
Yeah. Could you imagine
you
the dark lit that, by fire?
You have no
trying
idea
to really.
And your uniforms, like, they've all got, like, the Flash, Silver Age Flash style hat.
Yeah.
Sorry, Golden Age, not Silver Age. Silver Age is Barry Allen. Like the saucer hat. So they all kind of look the same in the dark. So you're not even sure if it's your guy or if it's not your guy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he starts sprinting at him, and you're just like,
shooting at him.
He's taken off, and he's just, like, ducking and diving, and finally he, like, slides into
he kicks out
like a
basement or something,
like a boarded up window.
Yeah.
He just kind of slides into it, and then he
lets
the dude run by, and he kind of looks around and looks like there's somebody staying there, and then all of a sudden you see this girl in the back, and she's like, what, like, you know, starts speaking French. He's like, I'm cool, like, I'm on your side, we're okay. And,
and luckily he seems to have picked up enough French, I guess, from being in the area or something, you know, because she's speaking mainly all French, and then he's like grasping at single words, and they're able to communicate.
Barely.
Yeah.
And I do like the scene with the baby, like all of a sudden there's a baby there. And
once she knows it's safe and he's not trying to hurt her, she goes and gets the baby.
And he's just like, what's her name? She's like, I don't know. Who's your mom? She's like, I don't know.
But there's this connection, you know, you can tell this is the first hint you get that, you know, he may have a family
because
you don't know anything about Will yet.
He gives up all of his food. He gives up everything. He's like,
well, she can't eat that. And, then he remembers.
He's like, well, what does she need? And she was like, milk. He's like, light bulb. I have that. And he gives her the milk.
Does he really say what is she? Does he not know how babies work?
Well, I think she says.
What does it eat?
I think she says like she can't eat that.
Right.
And he was like, well, what do you need or something?
Yeah.
And she says milk. So. Yeah. Okay. So he realizes it. She goes, it's daylight. Like you can't. You gotta stay till night. And he was like, I can't. I gotta go. Yeah. So he picks up all of his gear. She's kind of begging him not to leave. But he takes off. And now he's running. This is where we see the drunk guy comes stumbling out and pukes his guts out. He stumbles into another German soldier. They get into a fist fight and he chokes him out.
Yeah.
And he puts him to sleep. Well,
I don't think.
Well, he puts him to sleep.
I think he shakes him or something.
No, he's got his hands around his throat.
I know he's choking him, but I thought he had a knife at one point when they were struggling. I don't know. But either way, I think he's dead.
He's dead.
And the other guy's like drunk.
He's
and
like
singing
hey,
in the background.
Hey, what are you doing over there? And then he like Will. I'm fairly certain he's out of bullets at this point. So he's just running.
Yeah. I love he runs past the guy. And the other guy's like, Bob! Like, he stops to go. He's just drunken, and he's, like, trying to fight his friend. And, yeah, Will just pushes right by him.
And now they've got, like, these flares are going off in this town, and people are shooting at him.
The scene is only lit by flare.
Only lit
by flare. Another, you know, Deacon's choice here, which is brilliant because it's so dark and chaotic, but it's like, there would be no lights here at this, you know, like, in this area.
It's lit by the fire in the middle of the town.
As the flares pop up, you can see him,
and
you see the enemies. The enemies can only see him when it's lit, so he's trying to hide behind things. And run through buildings.
He drops down and just like lays on the ground.
It's just pure chaos for this guy running through buildings, getting shot at, ducking and dodging around corners.
Well, because he's like, how do I get to whatever place? She's like, the river. Follow the river. Where the river ends, that's where you want to be. So he's tearing ass like through this town.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
You can see like what I thought was great is it's shot from the front again, running towards the camera. As the flare's going up, you can see like more and more like German soldiers kind of
he's swarming. Running past people and they're
kind of is a zombie movie.
Kind of a little bit. Yeah.
Like,
you know, there's no such thing as a good Nazi except for
they're not Nazis yet.
Oh, that's true. I guess they're not. Yeah. They're not. They're on the way.
Right.
They're coming. So he's, you know, this is the scene that you're talking about where he just runs and drops.
Yeah.
Like he just falls off and falls into the river. And it's not like a lazy river.
He doesn't know it's coming. Like it's just all of a sudden he's just like bloop,
like the rest of us.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's in the river, but there's a really strong current.
Yeah.
Reason being at the end of this,
there is a waterfall.
And the way it's shot top down again.
Yeah.
So now the camera, as he's struggling in the water, eventually goes to overhead and they're shooting him. Yeah, from the top, and it's a little bit further away, and you see him going under the water, and you're waiting for him to pop back up, and it takes a while, but he goes over the waterfall, you're waiting, he pops up, starts struggling, and eventually...
I do like the scene that I enjoy that he's, like, hanging onto this log like a koala.
When he goes to sleep, because he almost drowns himself. It's so, again, those are the little nuanced things that, you know, a better actor or filmmaker, writer wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
But it's like, this guy's been on the run. He's been shot at. He's been concussed. Like, you know,
he's
tired. He's tired.
Yeah.
And so he's holding on and he dozes off underwater. And I thought that was a great little, little moment.
And so he gets to the end of the waterfall. We see again bodies.
He runs into
bodies everywhere.
Bloated.
Yeah.
In the water.
From being in the water.
Yeah.
And then he climbs out and we hear like this person. We hear a song.
Well, you see.
And I was like, oh man.
There's all the flowers falling.
Oh,
and stuff.
The cherry blossoms.
He sees one and more. And then all of a sudden it's like this really beautiful. After all this chaos, he's kind of escaped into this quiet, beautiful, scenic area.
Right. And then we hear the song and he kind of collapses while these people are around him.
He's been through so much at this point, and they're all just hanging out listening to music.
And then the song's over, and these dudes are like, "Where you're not?"
It really took me out of it that the song choice was "My Humps." I thought that was unusual.
I mean, it was a bold choice,
right?
Yeah.
Everything else had been so.
I was kind of expecting All About That Bass. Is what I was thinking.
That would have been a good choice.
Yeah. So these guys kind of swarm around him and they're like, where are you? What are you doing here? And he's trying to say like, where is so-and-so?
He's trying to find the devils or something.
And he's like, yeah, that's us. Yeah. He's like, well, what time is it?
Yeah.
And he was just like, he goes, have you attacked yet? They're like, yeah, the first battalion A is already gone.
Yeah.
Done their,
they're like, we're in the back.
We're in the back.
D or something.
We're the last ones to go. So Will is just like tearing ass through another tiny, like itty bitty.
Yeah.
The camera pulls back and you see all these guys again, practical. These are real, you know, extras on the set, all dressed up like this. And he has to go through them. And as it pans back, you see the struggle of him going through more and more and more.
And he keeps asking, where's McKenzie? Where's Colonel McKenzie? And they're like, he's down that way. He's down that way. So he's having to run through all these people.
And every higher up he stops, he talks to, they're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I'm trying to lead these guys. Like,
until he gets the one guy who cannot respond, who's just like, he's like completely, I know it's not the proper term now, but he is shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that was called. Mm-hmm. PTSD was called shell-shock back then.
Well, that's not, there ain't nothing post about that traumatic
stress.
No,
that's true. That is traumatic
but
stress.
He's on the front line with them, and people are blowing up around them.
Yeah, yeah, because now the Germans are attacking, and they're attacking with this.
This is like the second line, and he has to get to
first line's already
Cumberbatch
out.
At the front line.
Yes.
And so at this point, and so, you know, he talks to the guy, and he's like, you're crazy. Like, you can't.
I do love this scene where, like, Will, he's like, you can't, you got to get around. Yeah. There's no way to get around.
No.
And Will just kind of looks at him and looks at like the trench.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And
he climbs up this thing, the trench to the grass.
And it is,
the color is completely contrast here where we haven't seen green grass.
Yeah.
Like, the grass is very green and it's like almost like springtime for Hitler.
Not yet.
And Will, It's a slow beginning where he starts to, like, he's walking and then all of a sudden he's running and now he's at full speed.
He's Tom Cruising it.
He is Tom Cruising
and
it.
And
he is running
through
people. The
other technical achievement is that you've got all these extras
running
all dressed
through.
Up running.
Yeah, he's running parallel to the trench and they're running perpendicular out of the trench.
Yeah. And there are people really running into him.
Yeah, I mean, and there's one scene where he gets hit and he rolls.
They're holding guns with bayonets. Like, I mean, obviously there's some movie props and whatever, but still, if a guy runs into you with a pointy any kind of object, I'm like, God, how did they protect them from?
You'll notice they were safe though. No one was running with scissors.
That's it. And they didn't. And he hadn't eaten before he went in the water for at least 30 minutes.
Well, see,
or
that's
so.
If you follow the rules. Yeah,
it's good.
So he gets to like the main base, and these two dudes are like, "You're not going
that
in there."
All about.
All, you got it.
Yeah.
You just put it up on a tee like that.
Yeah, because I was even going for it before. Yeah,
these two, the two guards for the, I don't know what you would call it. Like the hut is basically what it was.
Well, there's just
a bunker.
Soldiers
there's
on
a bunker. Yeah.
On
well, no,
they're,
like, they won't. Yeah, they will not let him in. He was like, I have a letter from the general. And I really like where Cumberbatch turns around. He was like, shut up. Like, we got him on the ropes. He's like, Bull, you don't have him on the ropes.
Yeah,
like,
he almost didn't make it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know if this guy's crazy or what. He's running in here.
Yeah,
saying,
why would you let a private in there?
Exactly,
Yeah, let me just interrupt for 1 second. Another tiny, tiny, tiny little thing that I didn't like about it, because I love the movie. A tiny little thing I didn't like about it was the reveal of Benedict Cumberbatch.
What
do you mean?
When he turns around, there's like a moment where Mendes shot it as if he wanted the whole audience to go, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch. Okay, good.
Really? Oh, I didn't. It didn't. I don't know. It didn't
it's
seem like that to me.
Just a quick little shot.
Okay.
So you get Cumberbatch is like, nope, we're going. We got him on
Benny
the ropes.
Comes?
But nope, I'm not saying that.
What if it was the porn parody?
Well, that's different. Yeah, then I would absolutely say it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, show the respect to the actor.
That's 69-17.
Doctor Stranger.
So finally, Will is just like, I am telling you, I have a letter from the general. And of course, he has witnesses, like Mark Strong's comment plays out here. And he's like, you got to read it. The Germans, they set this whole thing up. They want you to attack. And finally,
he doesn't want to listen to him. Though.
Right.
Even though he believes that he is, he's like, no,
I
can send him out tomorrow and do the same thing. He's like,
exactly.
I've got him on the run.
I love when he makes his speech because it's kind of like he's got a point.
Yeah.
He does have a point. Yeah.
You want me to stand back to go and put him out tomorrow. It's
right.
Like,
right.
do this.
Let's do it right now.
But he eventually gets him to read the thing.
Yeah, and he pulls back the troops.
He reads it, and instantly he's just like, call him off.
Call him off. Call him back.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how you call back troops.
Well, in that chaos,
they
I know.
Yeah. They've come up out of the trench, yeah. and they're running as fast as they can away from
just
the
kidding.
Trench.
Just kidding.
Some of them are like a mile away.
Yeah, you know what? You don't call them back. I guess those are the people that he goes to
Is that
see
a group
him.
Text? What do you do?
Yeah. I thought the same.
Yeah, like you've kind of crossed that... You got to think about baseball.
Yeah, you've crossed
That's how
the line.
At it.
Yeah. So Cumberbatch doesn't really say good job. He was just like, "All right, man, see ya. Go get checked out at the." But he does run into like another.
Well, but it's frustrated. In his fairness, in all fairness, he doesn't know what he just went through to get there.
That's true.
All he knows is he walked in and said, "Here's."
Right.
Orders,
that is
different.
The biggest gut punch of this movie. We've seen everything yeah. that Will has been through, and he gets there, and he's like, good job, go get patched up.
Yeah.
There's no thank you. There's yeah. no, you know,
well,
whatever.
Well, he gets the thank you from the other guy.
Right, but
like
I mean.
He just came from the other trench, yeah, one trench
yeah.
away.
But exactly. I thought the same thing, Tom, and I thought that was amazing because yeah. it's so true. We've yeah. been with this character. He has no idea, and yeah, the guy's doing his job. That's what he was supposed
it
to do.
It would be bad writing and disingenuous if
he was all like, yeah, oh my gosh, come in here and be, right. here's your promotion. I mean,
tell these guys about the yeah. dead body you put your hand
yeah,
into.
Right.
And like even if that character did know that, I think he still would have been like, yeah, that's the job.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, it's called war. Welcome to it.
I would say it's what you signed up for, but I don't think these
and
guys
I
signed
think,
up.
I know a lot of them did. A lot of them,
probably, yeah. I guess.
A lot of them, yeah. You know, especially back then, there was
no selective service.
And
was
it was
there?
Like, you want to, you know, there were a lot of people that wanted to go to war. Yeah. It was a badge
Captain
of honor.
Captain Steve Rogers couldn't even go.
You need to watch that documentary, because that was my point, is that you had these kids, 15, 16.
15-year-old
they
kids.
They wanted
lying
to go. They lied
age,
so
yeah.
they could go, and they did what they were told. I mean, just watch. It's amazing. These are the real people. So it's true. It's very realistic.
And I think it's on Amazon Prime right now for free.
Really?
If you have Prime.
It's on HBO, if
do.
You have HBO.
I have both.
And keep in mind, when you were 15 in 1917, you were middle-aged.
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, oh, my
Unless
life's
you
signed
up for World War One, in which case you were old age.
Yeah. Right.
But I like this moment where after all that, he's just kind of sitting there. He's been through all this, and Cumberbatch is like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you got to go.
Lance Corporal, you know, like showing his rank.
Right.
He's just like, what are you still doing in the war room? Like,
so he goes to the infirmary tents.
Looking for
Blake's brother.
Who's also Blake.
Oh, I thought it was his first name.
No, he's Tom Blake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Blake is the last.
I gotcha.
Sorry.
So he's, you know, and of course these guys are mangled, and he's like, do you know who this lieutenant?
The camera
left,
panning over all
lieutenant
the bodies.
Blake, and he was the guy's like, I don't know, dude. Like, call his name or something. Right. Who knows? So
here's what I know. That's Jerry, or yeah. that used to be Jerry.
Yeah. There's poly parts. There's a part of him over there. There's a part of him over there. There's
but
a part
yeah,
of him over
you're
there.
The camera Horrible. As he's walking through this infirmary. I mean, you are seeing the bodies everywhere and the damage and these guys laid everywhere. Yeah, it's chaos.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's trying to ask questions to people that are like trying to save these guys' lives.
And basically, he's given up.
So
he's,
he just, but he walks out. He's just like yelling out into nowhere.
And finally, we hear a voice, and he was like, "All right, go to that tent. Go to that tent." And he was like. He turns around.
Looks at him, I guess.
Like, and Tom Blake, the buddy, yeah. says, he looks just like me. Like, you'll know when you find him. So he kind of turns, and he was like, you know, Will says, Lieutenant Blake. And he was like, yeah. And, of course, it's Richard Madden from Game of Thrones. And he's like, oh, I'm from F
Game of Thrones.
I'm from F Troop or whatever.
And he's like, who's making the old-time TV references?
He's like, oh, you must know my brother Tom. And he was like, I did.
Yeah.
We came here together. And he was like, cool, where is he? He's like,
It was quick, or I was
with
him.
I was
with
him.
One of those.
It was fast, and he gives and
great
Richard,
performance.
I would say Richard Madden, who's again in this movie for 5 minutes,
but it
destroys this performance.
What you say without saying anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gives him the rings. Gives him the picture of his mom or his family. I guess like he had a picture with him.
But then Richard Madden just says, "Go get something to eat," and he walks away. And then he
turns around. He was just like, "Look." He was a good man. I expect him to be like, he was my best mate, but none of that happened.
But he, you know, and Richard Madden at this point just starts welling up, and he's really hurt, and then Will says,
If that dude was 10 years younger, that's your new Superman.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But he says, can I write your mom a letter?
Yeah, and
he,
of course,
that Madden, he asked
Madden,
for, and he's like,
Madden
yeah.
says yes. And he
shakes his hand. Just a really nice moment.
Very simple moment.
That
I do like that he has to give him the other hand because his other hand, the shake hand, is gross and probably going to get cut off from gangrene.
Turn him into a zombie.
I know.
I'm telling you.
That's how it spreads.
It's a prequel to Overlord.
Yeah. It's actually not. It's a pretty good movie. I like that movie a lot. I think that was supposed to be a Cloverfield movie.
Think it was.
Yeah. And like Cumberbatch, Madden doesn't know about the adventure these two were on.
Oh, no. Heck no.
And so he doesn't take him. You know what? Come over here. Tell me about what you with my brother. There's none of that.
Not until he sees the movie, no.
So he kind of like, Will goes over to a tree and kind of collapses. And he looks at a... He's
kind of
like
where
a,
it began.
Kind of,
the movie
exactly.
begins with him laying against a tree.
And he sees...
Was it him or was it Blake? Wasn't it Will?
It was Will against the tree.
Blake wakes him up.
Blake was laying down,
So he goes there, and this is the moment where it's like, this really hit me hard because...
I welled up here.
We talked about... Paul and I were talking about the documentary and what these guys went through and the sacrifice they made doing their duty, and they all had families back home.
You said duty.
but you don't know what Will's story is, but now you realize he put himself on the line, he risked his life, he did all this stuff, we've been following him on this chaotic mission, and come to find out he's got a family.
Well,
and
he says, like we said earlier, he does say, he's like, you can't go home.
Yeah.
Like, once you're done with this, don't go home. Yeah. Like, you don't belong there anymore.
But you see his daughters on one picture.
Oh, you think it was his daughters?
I think so. And then you see his wife, and it says, come back to us. And
so I thought that was his mom. But either way, it's his family.
Yeah.
And on the back, it does say, come back to us.
And it's just like, yeah. All that he went through, that, you know, one wrong move. I mean, he easily could have been dead a number of times.
Yeah.
But he did
got
all.
He got a bunker dropped on him. Yeah. He put his hand in a corpse. Like.
But all that, and it's like, he was just doing his
drank
duty.
Drank bad milk.
Well, I don't think he drank the bad milk.
He did it out of the bucket.
He took it out of the bucket, but
you don't know how long that milk been there.
That's a good point.
Baby's drinking bad
baby's drinking that milk now.
Yeah, it was even older when the baby got to it.
And that's how this movie ends.
Well, he had it in a...
canteen?
Yeah, what is, you know, those cups that keep everything cold forever? Those
Sure, yeah, thermos,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's a new timey...
And I think it looks like that this is dedicated
like
to...
Like a Yeti cup. Like
right. That would have taken me out of the movie.
it's a big, like a camouflage colored Yeti.
It's a big QT cup. Yeah. So this movie looks like it's dedicated to Sam Mendes's grandfather,
Alfred.
I assume.
Yeah.
Who, do you know the story behind that?
It is his grandfather who served in World War One and who had told him some of these stories when Mendes was very young.
Got it.
And he always thought, wow, that's a great story. And then as he got older, he thought, well, how do I make a movie about that?
Ta-da.
And then how do I make the most difficult movie I could possibly make?
I can't wait to seriously buy this and buy it in 4K and just watch it, watch the behind the scenes.
This is one of the ones where I want to see how they did this,
you
know, like when I first watched the first Halloween and I started getting into like the behind the scenes and I was like, how do they do that shot? And they show you, like, they've got like two cameras and they're showing, you know, Dean Cundey using like the Steadicam up the, you know, up the stairs to the house and all that, and how they moved it around. And it was amazing. And this is like
when Steadicams were like 18 months old.
Right. 1978 or whatever.
Yeah.
In this one, I can't figure it out.
It's cool. And it's from the clips I've seen. It's really cool. They're doing just to kind of promote the movie. They're sharing some online. And yeah, it's a ride. It's exhilarating. It's a technical masterpiece.
And before we go, I just want to mention the movies that Roger Deakins has done that were nominated for an Oscar that he didn't win for.
Yes.
The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Fargo. Kundun, which I don't know what that is. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? The Man Who Wasn't There. No Country for Old Men. The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. The Reader. The remake of True Grit. Skyfall with Mendes.
Uh-huh.
Prisoners. Unbroken. Sicario. Blade Runner 2049. And now this.
Yeah.
Was Kundun that Scorsese movie where it was like the Dalai Lama or something?
That sounds right.
Oh, I don't know.
I've never seen it, but I've heard it's good.
It is a Martin Scorsese movie. Yeah.
Oh, gee.
From
every once in a while I know something.
1997. It is about the Tibet's 14th Dalai Lama. Ooh. Very good, Tom.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Well, it wasn't about old-timey TV.
To be fair, Tom is a Buddhist. So.
Yeah, all right. And I lived through that.
Oh. Kundun. Yeah. It says Kundun, that old. Also known in Missouri as Captain Nice.
Well, the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
You don't get nicer than that.
Captain, no, you can't really.
That's what they call him. Captain Nice.
Well, it's like, you know, Mandarin for
No, I get it. Yeah.
What should we call it? Dolly Nice? No, that wouldn't work.
Dolly Wood. No.
No, we'll get sued. So, yeah, this is probably, I mean, already top five of the year.
Yeah. And it works, honestly, just as a straight-up action movie, too.
It was, yeah.
For all of its, like, smartness and cleverness and art house pedigree, it's also just a balls-out action movie.
It's exactly what
it is. You can just enjoy it like that if you want.
If sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I don't have a bad thing
the
to
Film
say
Critics
about
Association, so, like, it was nominated for Best Action Movie, and some of like the snobby people were like, that's not an action movie.
Oh my god!
And I'm like,
what do you call it? What genre is this in?
Like, it's also a drama, but it's like, there was nonstop action.
There's a dogfight, airplanes. What do you want?
You know, this it's like, go F yourself, Mortimer. Like, I know you're all like, oh, but films and this is like, go to hell. It's an action movie too.
Can we use the, like, you know how there's Karens?
Yeah.
Can we now have Mortimers?
Sure.
Yes.
I'll allow it.
I'm in. Sign me up.
I feel like the two guys from the Muppets are in.
Yeah, right?
But no, so it's funny. We went from a cinema score of F last week to a cinema score of an A.
A minus, I think.
Oh, was it? I thought it was a solid A.
It might have been. I know it wasn't A plus, which was surprising that people going to see this movie wouldn't have.
Another great. It's on a college scale. A, B, C, D, F.
When you walked out of this movie, did you feel stunned at what you had just seen?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just the experience. It's like Gravity, but I think better. And it's just the, you know, less CG, all the practical stuff to me. Mad Max did a similar thing.
Mad Max
was a ride.
I wasn't stunned the way I was stunned coming out of this.
But knowing that it was practical with Mad Max, all those cars and stuff they had to pull off, it's the same technical brilliance, you know, cameras and the cars moving and all that. But yeah, you just watching this film and then just like, how did that ever get finished? You know?
Yeah,
and
that's kind of how it was a stunning movie in content. But then to see the technical aspect as well was just
and when you pair
off
it
the
with
charts.
When you pair it with the documentary, it's just a 1-2 shot. Just
it is.
Wow.
So there you go. There it is.
Cool.
1917.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Paul. I'm on Twitter at Paul Harris Show.
This is Joe, oh my God. This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
That's what you get for being on your phone when you're trying to do plugs.
I was listening to Paul do it, and then I heard Paul do his last
name.
We've
only done it 542 times.
Yeah, it's not my finest moment.
Rookie mistake.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Of course, wherever you're getting your podcast from, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And then check out our Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, all sorts of bonus content. And you know you helped us out, and that's appreciated. And you'll get some new stuff this week. So that's it for this week. Next week, Doolittle or Bad Boys for Life.
I don't care. I'm not going to be here. You do what you want.
I have never seen a Bad Boys movie. So
Well, you have to watch them all to see this.
I don't know that I have time to watch the other two, but
365 days.
Put Saint Elsewhere on pause for a few minutes and watch
those.
A couple.
One and two are great.
They're fun action movies. Yeah. You know,
they're good.
I mean, I think they made this many. People still care. Must mean something.
We'll find out if people still care.
Yeah.
Oh, but
it's January. I think they'll care. This was a perfect time to release this type of movie. Yeah. I don't think this franchise is strong enough to work in July.
This should be a really good
said,
January.
Will Smith said, "You guys are gonna love this." He goes, "I know I say that sometimes when I know you're not gonna love it, but I really think you're gonna like this one."
Well, and I also think in the same way that we've seen war movies, like this is also the weekend where
it was a John Wick, right?
Where you've
that's
gotten,
February.
We've gotten Ride Along and things like that. So.
But no, John Wick is Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So that's all for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Andrew is killed by the gas attack.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.